Conduct your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than the giver of gifts. Humble yourself, the greater that you are. And then in the gospel, about this example of the banquet, and those who humble themselves will be exalted, those who exalt themselves will be humbled. It's great when we have opportunities to see the stories and the message of the scriptures actually lived out in everyday life. Because a number of things are not going to find their fulfillment, as we heard in the last verse, until the resurrection of the righteous, right? In heaven, everything will be reconciled. So when we have an opportunity to observe the Word of God being manifested and shown to us, something what it looks like, that can be powerful. So I was thinking, as we're coming off of the Olympics here, the Wichita Eagles been covering Nico Hernandez and, you know, his boxing journey over the last several weeks. And so I don't know him at all, but just kind of reading the paper and reading the stories about him, it sounds like he's a very humble person. He's quiet, right? And he manifests himself in the boxing ring. He doesn't exalt himself. And so it's been cool over the last few days watching how kind of Wichita and then some of the events that they're holding in his honor. They're having a parade and being on the front page of the paper, very much being exalted. So a person who has a lot of gifts, who's great, intentionally being humble, kind of quiet, right? Not proud. And then what? Being loved and exalted. Versus another example of a great athlete, a great swimmer who exalted himself, was humbled a lot over the last few weeks. I won't name any names, but the losing endorsements because of a kind of an exalted self-appreciation, you might say, basically thinking you can kind of do whatever you want because you have achieved such greatness. And then being humbled. St. Bernard of Clairvaux said that there are three essential virtues for the spiritual life. Three essential virtues. The first one is humility. The second one is humility. And the third one is humility. The word humility, in its literal sense, means to make small, to diminish in size. So I'm just reminded when I go and visit the kindergartners, they all both classes have to fit on the rug, the carpet. And so the teachers say, okay, let's get small now. They have to kind of get small. They have to get little. So it's a diminishment. And in the spiritual life, in the interior life, it's also a diminishment in the sense of self-importance, a diminishment of our self-importance. And as we talk about the cultivation of a spiritual life, the first and foremost step is humility. That's how we begin. That's the only way that we begin. Without humility, we can have no spiritual life. So it begins with humility. And we'll think about, you know, the lives of the saints and think about the Blessed Virgin Mary. What's her Magnificat? When the angel comes to her, she rushes then to see her cousin Elizabeth and she extols the Lord. The Lord has looked on the lowliness of his handmaid, right? Here she's receiving the most amazing, greatest gift, the greatest honor of any human being on earth. And she's what? Has recognized the lowliness of his handmaid. And we hear about Jesus in Ephesians that he humbled himself, becoming like a man, even undergoing death on a cross. So it was a continuous move, emptying towards humility. And so for us, it's important to be intentional about living humility because of our fallen human nature, our inclination is towards pride. We are all made great, but it's God that gives us our greatness. We cannot give it to ourselves. And that's what the devil wanted to do in pride, right? He wanted to make his own greatness instead of receive his greatness. There's often connections made. People will say that Christianity just basically, you know, took Greek philosophy and Greek religion, and made it its own. And so you find Greek concepts throughout the New Testament and the Christian religion. Well, there's some truth because of the Hellenization of the world. You know, two or three centuries before Christ was born, there was lots of Greek influence. But there was a huge difference. The starting point for Christianity is truly humility. Okay, so if you go to Mary, you go to Jesus, right, and the lives of the saints, it's talking about what? The emptying of oneself. For the Greeks, humility was to be abhorred. Rather, pride was what one strove after, and leaving a legacy, and the colossal images, right? And the exaltation, that was a focus of Greek philosophy and an end of Greek philosophy. So there are similarities. We do incorporate Greek philosophy into Christian faith, but there are major, major differences. Humility is an essential virtue for us. So what do we need to do? First of all, recognize that and then become intentional about living it out. And you don't have to look far because there's always opportunities for humility. St. Ignatius said that seek humility through humiliations. When you're humiliated, right, you're kind of brought down. He said, use that opportunity to become humble. It's kind of like if you're humiliated in a particular situation, right, you can take that straw or that manure, right, and make it into gold. Because it can lead to humility. It's an opportunity to reduce my self-importance in a good and healthy way. Now, humility is not self-abasement in the sense of leading to depression and worthlessness. Humility is about lessening one's own self-importance and placing their trust ultimately in God, finding their self-worth in God. So these little opportunities, these little humiliations throughout the day, I had a great opportunity last night, and I didn't really use it very well. Each month, Father Curtis and I, we host a feast with fathers, so we basically lottery or draw about 20 parishioners out of our system, and we invite them to a dinner that we cook. Well, so Father Curtis was hearing confessions and saying Mass, and I was cooking the chicken while he was doing that, and everything was going good on the Traeger because even a caveman could cook well on a Traeger. And but there were so many people coming to the dinner that we also had to use the grill. So I knew that I had to put the meat on about 5:45, but I want to get back here to greet the people. Well, okay, I'll put the meat on, and then I'll just run and then come back. Well, there was a fire in the barbecuer. Okay, so I came back, and the meat's charcoaled. So I want to put out this reputation that, yeah, Father's a great priest, and he could cook great too, you know? And so I'm like, okay, what am I doing? People are going to be coming here in a few minutes. Okay, there's the helpers are in the kitchen. Okay, I can just use this. This is a humiliation. I can use this as an opportunity, you know, to lessen, reduce my own self-importance, right? And to recognize that all greatness is a gift from God, undeserved. So I quickly got a bowl, put the charred chicken into it, and went into the kitchen, and then made all kinds of excuses of why this happened. So I did not use it as a very good opportunity to grow in humility. If we are intentional, we'll find little opportunities. You know, when we're overlooked, maybe we have certain goals in our job, in our life, in our family life that we have not achieved. Those are little humiliations where we're diminished in some way. We can be reactive and fight against that and become angry and exalt ourselves, or we can become small and recognize that, you know what, God, I depend everything upon you. And ultimately, in the end, I am nothing and you are all, and you are pure goodness to me. So this is a way of life, you might say. And we can take that and apply it to every aspect of the Christian life. Even think about the stewardship way of life. It's really, if it's embraced, it's a way of humility. Because what is the stewardship way of life? How do we define it? It's the grateful response of a Christian disciple who recognizes and receives God's gifts. The first movement of the soul of a steward is what? Recognizing and receiving God's gifts. No, I'm not great. Everything that I have has been given to me as a gift. You see, that's a movement and a disposition and a heart of humility. So stewardship at its core is a life in the way of humility. And all of our little sufferings, all of our struggles, those areas of our life, you know, like we want to overcome as far as sin goes, and maybe things that we're embarrassed about and that we confess constantly, or we're so scared we can't even go to confession. Those are humiliations that we can turn straw into gold that lead to humility so that we're clinging to just God alone. That is the journey of the spiritual life, and that is what Jesus Christ is trying to get across in his parable today.